anointed for deliverance. And you might say, okay, where is he going tonight? I did tell you guys last night, we're going to talk about deliverance tonight. And the Holy Spirit will give us an anointing for deliverance. And right now, he is actually all over America releasing a fresh anointing for deliverance. Some of us have ministered deliverance our own ministry, but many need to be activated. And we live in a time where so many people are bound and in the church. And because of the mixture that has been going on for so long, many people stand with one foot in the church and with one foot still in the world. And there's a mixture in their lives. And then they have all kinds of trouble, and they come for every altar call for, you know, please pray for me. And they don't move forward because they're bound. Hello? And we are not taking the power of God to see them set free. But tonight, Jesus wants to stir us. So we're again going to look at some Old Testament scriptures. And I know when you think of Old Testament scriptures, you can't think of deliverance. But there's many that actually point to it. And we're going to actually see several Psalms where David talks about it. But remember this, when they battled in the Old Testament, they battled physical armies and people. But today, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But also, when we minister to people, it's the demonic powers that has bound those people. Okay? Amen? And the Lord Jesus wants to make us victorious, and that it's not just some weird person somewhere far off that you need to go and send people to get deliverance, but that the Lord Jesus wants to use every person in the body of Christ. Last night at the end, this was not in the message, but when we made the altar call, I had Pastor Pat read Mark 16, verse 17. Right? These signs will follow. And we all like to land on the last one. In my name, you will lay hands on the sick. Come on. And we promote that. And because we're Holy Ghost tongue-talking people, we do like maybe also the speaking in tongues one. But the first one we ignore. Hello? The very first one, Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, in the name of Jesus. He's talking to ordinary believers. He says, everyone who believes. Come on. He says, you will cast out demons. Oh, brother. Can we move on? I mean, many times if a demon manifests in the church, the people run to the back. Hello? We don't know what to do, but I want to encourage you tonight. Jesus wants to anoint you. And he has called us as spirit-filled believers to be active as part of what not as the sole thing we do. You guys catch what I'm saying? But as part of what we do, we need to be setting people free in the name of Jesus. All right. So we're going to read several scriptures out of the Psalms, and it's I want to start in these are Psalms of David, I believe, and so we're going to read out of Psalm 18 and from verse 32 to 40 will be the first one. The second one will be Psalm 118 from verse 10 to 12. And the third one will be Psalm 149, from verse 4 to the end. Psalm 18 from verse 32 to 40. And Elena will read for us.
Psalm 18, verse 42.
Oh, you probably need the mic.
Oh, well, it's that close.
Okay.
God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath my feet, so my ankles will not turn. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back until they were destroyed. I crushed them so that they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with strength for battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight and destroyed my foes. They cried for help, but there was no one to save them. To the Lord, but he did not answer. I beat them fine as dust
just so far.
Wind and poured them out like mud in the streets.
All right. Wow. And when he says, you know, they cried for help. When demons cry for help, they don't get help. Hello? They've got to go in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. So now Psalm 118, verse 10 to 12.
All the nations surround me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They swarmed around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off.
Amen. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And now Psalm 149, from verse 4. And this is so prophetic. It actually speaks how it is our inheritance to be powerful in deliverance. It was prophesied.
For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths and the double-edged sword in their hands, to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his saints. Praise the Lord.
Amen. And you guys understand that sentence is what the Lord Jesus delivered on the cross. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And these kings, it's the demonic powers. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And now the last scripture we're going to look at is just two verses. And if you can read them in the King James specifically, if possible. And it's Luke 4, verse 18 and 19. This is the anointing of Jesus. And I like how the King James puts it specifically, that's why.
Okay, here comes the King James. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Elena. Amen. To preach deliverance to the poor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that there is power in the name of Jesus. And we want to tonight say, we are not ashamed of the name of Jesus. And we will not be in fear. We will not be dismayed. We will not shrink back at this time in all the things that are happening in the world around us. But we will stand up And we will declare the name of the Lord Jesus. We will declare the cross of the Lord Jesus and declare your victory that you brought for us on the cross, Lord Jesus, to see people set free out of sin and darkness and demonic bondage and sickness and disease and every oppression in the name of Jesus. Because that is why you came, Lord Jesus. And we want to embrace your call and your mission, what you have called us. And thank you, Holy Spirit, when you fell on the day of Pentecost, it was included in the power that fell on the day of Pentecost was power to see people delivered in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So just like I did last night, as I shared with you, I have been reading a lot in 2nd and 1st and 2nd Kings and 2nd Chronicles about Elijah and Elisha and the kings in their day. And last night we saw how, you know, in the time of the evil king Ahab, the Lord raised up Elijah, and then he went and anointed Elisha to follow after him. And Elisha asked for the double portion anointing. And we talked about that last night. But in the time of Ahab, who was the king of Israel, in Judah, God raised a righteous king by the name of Jehoshaphat. Now, he started out with a bit of a problem in that he married a relative that was related to Ahab and Jezebel, and that was not good. But, and then he went out to war with Ahab, and when his son married. All right. But and then he went out to war with Ahab, and when he came back, a prophet of the Lord by the name of Jehu came to him and said, "Why did you, take hands with an unrighteous man to help him?" And that the Lord was angry about that. But then he said, "But there is still some good in you." And it's so astounding that, you know, sometimes when a prophet would bring a rebuke to a king in the Old Testament, so often the king would be offended at this rebuke and then punish the prophet. Hello? Jehoshaphat didn't. In fact, what he did, he turned from all the evil that was going on. It says he did not serve Baal, whereas his predecessors did. He did not do that. In fact, he went and destroyed the Asherah poles. He destroyed the high places, and he got rid of the male prostitutes. I think we have them today also. Okay? So anyway, so he cleaned out that which was evil. And many times when we want to walk with the Lord, we want to push forward, but we do not want to really go and clean house. Back in the 60s, 70s, and beginning 80s, when people got saved, there was house cleaning done. Nowadays, people come to church, pray to receive Jesus, and now they're just happy. And nobody tells them, "Listen, your house is full of bad stuff. Go and clean your house." And there's many believers' homes today that are actually have a mixture of things. There's believers that have like Harry Potter books in their houses. Hello? I know some of you are looking at me like, "We don't believe that." We have been in the homes of believers where this is the case. And all kinds of stuff like that, where there's a mixture. And I want to encourage you, It is time for us to clean house. And those of you that are, the Lord is stirring that He wants to use you to reach people. Because let me say this, we're getting ready for a harvest. And you got to get ready for work. And that's going to mean that when unbelievers come in, that you go to their homes and say, we've got a clean house. We got to take out your phone. Clean out your phone. Hello? Come on. And clean out your cable. You know, there's so much that is being watched today on television that is perverse. Well, there's only a few people agreeing with me on these things. Come on. It's time for holiness. So he cleaned everything out. And then, when the Moabites and the Arameans and the people from Mount Seir came to attack him, he sought the Lord. I always love this. You know, it's so amazing. The Lord loves it when we call upon Him for help. Yes, we are a people of faith that walk by faith, and He has empowered us by the Holy Spirit to do the things He's called us to do. But I want to tell you, when you ask Him every time you're going to go and do something specific, Lord Jesus, help me in this. The Lord loves that. Whatever. Okay. All right. All right. Don't worry. So anyway, the Lord loves it when we call on Him and ask for help. And that's important. All right? And then, he humbled himself before the Lord and gathered the people, and they humbled themselves before the Lord. And then a Levite from a descendant of Asaph, And I forgot his name. I was thinking I'm going to try and remember his name. But anyway, he stood up amongst them and he told them, he said, the battle is not yours, it is the Lord's. And this is very important. We have become too arrogant sometimes in how we want to go after the enemy. Oh man, we can do it. We can take him out. When you have that attitude, you're already acting in pride and by the arm of the flesh. Because in our own strength, we are useless. We can't do anything. Come on. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's in the name of Jesus. It's not how good we are or how well we can do it. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus. Come on. And when we come with humility, I mean, all through the scripture, even it talks of when the angel Michael came and there where Joshua the high priest was being condemned by the devil. He said, the Lord rebuke you. He didn't spill out all kinds of vile things over the enemy. Okay? We should not act like the devil to try and chase out the devil. Come on. Because that's not how it works. And so they called on the name of the Lord. And then he said, the battle is the Lord's. And he will go and fight before you. And this is the thing that I want to show you. In the Old Testament, and he wants us to learn something from this. I mean, when you read, and I want to encourage you, every one of you, make sure that during the year you have some kind of a plan. Whether you do Chrono or whatever you do, the Chrono Bible or whatever plan you do, or the one-year Bible or whatever, but read through the Bible every year. Is this site alive? Come on. I like it when you respond, okay? Don't just nod your head. Okay? So, amen. Be people that dig into the Word. And so when you read through the Old Testament, I mean, you see them over and over, these supernatural battles where the Lord just said to them, He will go before them, and then, boom, the enemy is wiped out supernaturally, routed. I mean, and we're not talking about a few people. Sometimes in a moment, 100,000 people wiped out by the Lord. Just like that. Because He supernaturally fought the battle. But these things speak of what we need to believe for in the New Testament, not in terms of the Lord wiping out all our enemies. Hello? Come on. But how the Lord is so powerful to give us victory over the enemy, the forces of darkness. Come on. So here's Jehoshaphat. They go into this battle, and he sent the singers ahead. This is in 2 Chronicles 20. He sends the singers ahead, and they start singing. And these three armies start fighting each other, and they kill each other. And by the time they get there, they're all wiped out. Supernaturally. And then they rejoice in the victory the Lord brought for them. But it was the Lord that did the battle. Now, understand this. What the Lord is calling us to do is to, you know, lay hands on people and command in the name of Jesus that people be set free. But He is the one that delivers them. Because when you say in the name of Jesus, it is the name of Jesus and the power of Jesus that kicks those demons out. Come on. And He is the one that is triumphant. Because they know they have to fear Him. And so when the Lord Jesus came, you see, He came, and first of all, the first time He comes into a synagogue, I mean, the synagogue was very peaceful until Jesus walked in. Jesus caused disturbances wherever He went. Come on. So He's busy teaching in the synagogue, and the next moment, one of the elders, no, I'm just joking, anyway, falls out and starts manifesting demonically. You caught it. So, started manifesting demonically. And Jesus, right there, commands those spirits, come out. And the man is set free. And the people freak out. They say, what is this? A new teaching? I mean, today, in many places where people are again seeing deliverance happening, they say, is this a new teaching? No, it's been around for a long time. Hello? But we have not practiced it in the church. We've been ashamed. And we've been worried, you know, how will we, you know, do this in a proper way that and we want to always do it behind closed doors where nobody knows. Sorry. So that we don't affect many people. But that's, and you know, I've been in many meetings where the moment the demon manifests, then they take them out. So the people never see the people get free. That's wrong. Last night, somebody manifested and Jesus set them right here free. Thank you, Jesus. This is the freedom that He brings. But He wants you to learn and do this. So now, the Lord Jesus goes into another synagogue and there is a woman. And I want you to catch this because this is so important. Because there's also this thing that has been proclaimed for so long in the church. A believer cannot have a demon. Hello? So, if you drive out a demon from an unbeliever, what's going to happen? Jesus said seven words is coming back. So you can't do that with an unbeliever. Hello? Okay, you're getting very quiet on me now. So, all right, before I go to that one, let me just show you actually in the book of Acts, believers that actually got infected with demons, that were spirit-filled. Do you think there is an example like that? All right, which one, brother? A spirit-filled believer that got infected by demons. Ananias and Sapphira. Peter says, how could Satan enter you and fill you? That word fill there is the same word of being filled with the Holy Spirit in the Greek. Wow. And James talks of, and I'll get to that in a moment, but he calls these things that come into people and bounce them as sensual, earthly, and demonic. So let me say this. Don't argue about can a believer have a demon or not. Just get rid of them. Come on. So here is a woman in the synagogue. She's bent over, and Jesus sees her, and he calls her forward. And now listen what he does. He lays hands on her, and he says, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And she springs up, straightens up, and she's totally set free. Then the synagogue ruler is so upset. And the Lord Jesus says, she is a child of Abraham. When Jesus used the term child of Abraham, he was speaking of people who had the faith of Abraham to believe in him. Are you with me? So he is calling her a child of God. And he's saying, shouldn't she who suffered for 18 years be set free from this the spirit that bound her? It was a demon that had bent her body over like that. Come on. Now let me say this. These people, they go to the doctor often. There's stuff wrong with them, and the doctors cannot find the solution. When you've been to the doctor 5 or 10 times, and every time they've done all kinds of CAT scans and blood, you know, tests and whatever, and they cannot find what is wrong with you, there's a spirit. Hello? And Jesus wants that person free. Now, I'm not saying, and please hear me, because this is what happened for years, that every sickness is a demon. Please, that's not what I'm saying. But there are diseases and sicknesses that are demons. I remember praying for some people that had tumors in their body. The next time they went to the doctor, the tumors were in a different place in their body. Hello? What does that tell you? That's something jumping around. And so it has to be cast out. Okay? So, but Jesus called her a child of Abraham. Now, Jesus calls the 70 too. And I love what he says. He says to them, I'm sending you as lambs among wolves. Are you guys catching that? We want a perfect environment. We want a safe environment. Jesus says, I'm sending you like vulnerable, helpless lambs among wolves. But because they are going in the name of Jesus, the wolves don't stand a chance. They come back. Jesus, this is so awesome. Even the demons submitted in your name. And now, The Lord Jesus says something to them. He says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. When did that happen? Who can help me? What do you think? When did that happen? Let me tell you. When they went out and they preached the gospel, laid hands on the sick, and drove out the evil spirits, the principalities over that territory came down. Hello? But it was in the midst of the harvest. Are you guys tracking with me? This was not in a church service. Uh-oh. Are you saying, brother, we've got to go and do this stuff outside? Yes. Oh, sorry. I need to quickly just throw this in because I forgot about this, talking about outside. So, Jehoshaphat, because this is fundamental in what we stand on and built on. Jehoshaphat, he himself, this is so powerful. He himself, it says, went out throughout Judah and Israel, teaching the people the word of God. The king himself. Then he sent people to go and instruct them in the word of God. And when they went out, two things happened. The first is when he went out and they went out, it says the fear of the Lord fell on all the nations around them. When we go out to take the gospel out amongst the lost and start to proclaim it over and over and over, I want to tell you, the fear of the Lord is going to come down. And then when they went out into the battle and the Lord defeated their enemy, the fear of the Lord again fell. And I want to declare to you, where the Lord starts to deliver many people and there's healings and deliverances taking place, the fear of the Lord is going to come down. And we have lost the fear of the Lord in the church. So now, these people went out and the fire of God fell. The people got saved, healed, and delivered. And the principalities came down. But now the Lord Jesus said, don't rejoice that your name that this happened, but rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. In other words, stay anchored in the cross. And then he says, I have given you power over all the powers of the enemy. You will trample on snakes and scorpions, and nothing will harm you. And then here, Jesus, it says he was excited. He would leap for joy. He was so full of joy in the Holy Spirit that ordinary believers grabbed all of this and gave the devil lots of trouble. Jesus was excited. Do you want to excite Jesus? Hello? Go and get people delivered. And healed and saved. Come on. Jesus was excited, it says, in the Holy Spirit. And then, as you know, he paid the price. And when he sat on the cross, it is finished. He made a public spectacle of the devil. He triumphed over the devil. Those words, it is finished, was like absolute terror was let loose over the forces of darkness. Wow. Come on. The Lord Jesus absolutely routed them through the cross. And when he rose from the dead, it was like, boom. The victory is sealed. Hallelujah. Then when he sent his disciples out and told them, wait in Jerusalem. Understand this. He sent them out, as I told you last night. Mark 16 is part of Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses, to go and preach the gospel, and then to drive out evil spirits. It's part of the power of the gospel, the power of the Holy Spirit. So now in the book of Acts, and I'm almost finished. Here, Philip goes out. He's a deacon. Hello?
He's not an apostle.
He's a deacon. And he goes out. And he starts preaching the gospel. And it stirs up demons. You know, we've been taught for years, we must minister in such a way that we don't cause trouble. Do you know Jesus, wherever he went, purposefully taught in such a way that he would arouse the demonic spirits, the principalities that bound the people, so that those things could manifest and he could triumph over them. It's time for us to again preach in such a way that we stir up demons. Come on. Hello? And so he went out and he's preaching, and the demons manifest and they are driven out. And it says, just as in the case of Jehoshaphat, when they came back from the victory, there was great joy. It says there was great joy in the city. Wow. I want to tell you, we are in such a time of bondage over so many people. If there comes a freedom over many people, I want to tell you, it will release such a time of joy. Because when people find out that they are free of all of this nonsense that have bound them, and the sin and the demons that have oppressed them and so messed up their lives and the generational curses and everything, when they get set free, when they come out of it, it brings such joy. And so now Peter and John comes. They lay hands on the people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't tell us there whether they spoke in tongues. But from Simon's, the sorcerer's reaction, I believe they spoke in tongues. And he now wants to buy this. And Peter rebukes him. And I want you to catch this. Because he was a sorcerer, right? Now, see what is the root of sorcery. The Lord Jesus said to him, Peter said to him, I see that you are full of the gall of bitterness and wickedness. Bitterness is the root of witchcraft. The reason why people in foreign lands go and see the witch doctor or a sorcerer is because they want that witch doctor or sorcerer to put a curse on the person they hate, and they give the money for it. But in giving them money, they actually buy a demon. Yeah, two for one. That's how it works. But here in our society, we don't necessarily go to a sorcerer to do this. But sometimes the way that we pronounce with our mouths curses. And let me just say this, as spirit-filled believers, we have power in our mouth. And we have to be careful that we don't cross the line and start to proclaim things over people in prayers that are actually demonic curses and become charismatic witchcraft. Hello? If you can't say amen, say ouch. So it's so important that we come out of that. And let me just say this. Many, many people in the church is bound with unforgiveness. And when you're bound with unforgiveness and you continue to stay in it, you've opened the door for bondage. And many people that are very bound with it actually have a spirit. Uh-oh, it's getting quiet again. You have to forgive and need to get set free and get that thing cast out. And if you were addicted to stuff before, now you're a believer, but you're a workaholic, you're still addicted. Uh-oh. Hello? So don't exchange one addiction for another. And go and clean house. If there's stuff that you're watching that's not good, stop. I actually nowadays just watch the news and sport.
Listen to him. Stop.
Especially international news, because we travel in so many nations. But I watch sport a bit. But that's it. Because the stuff that is on television is so perverse. And I want to tell you, the enemy is using it to want to entice people. And so we have to clean house. Even what you do on Facebook. I mean, some believers' Facebook, it's like, are you a believer? Hello? We've got to clean things out. So anyway, last thing. Paul is in Philippi, and this is important to recognize. There was a girl that is walking behind them, servant girl, and she proclaims, these are men of God. Okay? And that sounds like this is the Lord, right? But it comes from a fortune teller. So this is the devil speaking. And sometimes there's things that are today spoken in the church by people that actually come from a demonic background. They might now got saved already, but they've not been delivered. And sometimes we think we can just get them now to flow in the prophetic. No, they've got to get completely cleaned out and delivered. And Paul turns around and rebukes that spirit and casts it out. We were in the meeting in Thailand recently. We had made a call for the baptism and the Holy Spirit. People came forward, and one lady that had come forward was standing there, and she just started very loudly saying, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah." Now, you would say, somebody saying hallelujah, that's praising the Lord, right? Yeah. But the way that she did it, it was disturbing. And we went over there, and the moment I laid my hands on her, she fell to the ground and started manifesting. This was a demonic manifest, but it sounded spiritual. Do you understand? The enemy sometimes comes in disguise, but we need to be open. And let me just say this, coming back to those scriptures. David said, he trains my hands for battle. The Lord Jesus has anointed you and anointed your hands to lay your hands on people. And by the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus, minister healing, minister deliverance. Hello? Amen? And become effective in it. By the way, when you lay hands on it, this is not the time for massaging. I don't know about you, but I've had a few massages in the church. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And I mean, they're massaging you so bad. It's not how hard you're doing it. Come on. You don't have to rub the demon out. But become, I mean, I know there's even people now that say, well, when you minister deliverance, don't lay hands on the people. The demon can come on you. You don't have to be afraid. You have authority. Do you hear me? That demon is not coming to you. He is coming out and leaving. Because you have Jesus in you. All right? So don't be afraid to lay hands on him. He is training you to do this. And then, you know where he said, in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. And that really is when you speak in the name of Jesus, I cut these things off that is over you. In Jesus' name, I break all of these things off in Jesus' name. And they are cut off and the person is set free. Hallelujah. And it's our heritage, the vindication from the Lord that he has given that we can go and do this because Jesus has commanded us. And that's why Paul says, our warfare is not against flesh and blood. And we do not do warfare like the world. But the weapons of our warfare is powerful. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. So, Jesus wants to anoint you. But first, let's pray prayer together. Where we just clean out if there's anything that needs to go, that it goes. And then, if there's anyone that needs the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we will pray for you. And then after that, if there's any one of you, as we were speaking, the Lord is stirring you, this stuff you need to get rid of, we will go after it. And then we'll lay hands on everyone else, if you want fire, to go and do this. Hallelujah. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that when you sent the Lord Jesus, as Pat prayed so beautifully, Lord Jesus, that you came. And you came to defeat the enemy. As John says in 1 John, that for this purpose, the Son of Man was made known to destroy the works of the enemy and of the evil one. And so that is what you came to do, Lord Jesus. You defeated the enemy and you gave your disciples authority to trample on snakes and scorpions in the name of Jesus. And so tonight, we want to be anointed with this anointing to go and be fully trained by the Holy Spirit in power to go and do this work through the Lord Jesus in the name of Jesus. And so tonight, set people free and set them on fire to go and do this in Jesus' name. Let's all stand. Pray this with me. Everybody pray this aloud. Say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that I'm your child. And I want to tonight make sure that everything of the past is removed, is cut off. I do not want to hold anything of the past. In the name of Jesus. Therefore, I want to first forgive everyone who sinned against me. And if there's anyone the Lord brings to your mind now or during the service has, just speak their names right now, just under your breath. Tell the Lord Jesus who you need to forgive. Just forgive right now. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I forgive them. Say, Lord Jesus, I forgive them. I set them free in the name of Jesus. And I bless them in Jesus' name. I renounce any involvement in the occult in the name of Jesus. I renounce any fortune telling or anything that relates to that in the name of Jesus. I renounce any Freemasonry roots. I cut that curse off in the name of Jesus. I renounce any involvement in any Eastern religion. In the name of Jesus. And any practice related to those religions. Like yoga. In the name of Jesus. I cut it off. In the name of Jesus. And Lord Jesus, if there's anything else, and any generational involvement, say that, any generational involvement, parents and grandparents, trafficking in the occult, we cut it off in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And if there's anything else, Lord Jesus, where I've been defiled, I want to tonight cut it off. I repent of it in the name of Jesus. And reveal that to me, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, I want to walk cleanly in holiness, in the fear of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that there is freedom. In the name of Jesus. There is power. In the name of Jesus. Thank you that the blood of Jesus washes clean. In Jesus' name. I receive your freedom and your forgiveness. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.